Well, picture this scene. It's coming up on your birthday, and a friend of yours invites you to Dairy Queen, wants to treat you for your birthday. You say, okay, I'll meet you there. And your friend says, no, I'm going to be coming right by your place. Why don't I just stop and pick you up? That way, nobody will be waiting for anybody. And they show up at the appointed time, and you get in the car, and they say, I hope you don't mind, but I need to stop at the Johnsons on the way. Now, the Johnsons are mutual friends of yours, so that's fine with you. You pull up at the Johnsons, and your friend says, hey, why don't you come in and say hello? You don't want to just sit out here. It's going to take me a few minutes. And your spidey senses are tingling, but you get out, and you walk up to the door, and the Johnsons open it just a little too quickly, as if they were just standing waiting there at the door for your arrival. And you step in the door, and suddenly a whole crowd of people yell, "Surprise!" And they start singing happy birthday to you. Now here's my question. Are you pleased or are you ticked off? Do you like surprises or do you hate them? You know, a year ago I challenged you to pray a breakthrough prayer for a month. At 3:20 every day we were going to pray together. And it was 3:20 because the Bible verse that we based our prayer on was Ephesians 3:20 that says, "Glory to God who is able to do far beyond all that we could ask or imagine by his power at work within us." And we made up these little cards that many of you took, and some of you also put the prayer into your phone with a reminder that every day at 3:20 would remind you to pray that prayer, and you did. Did anybody keep doing it after that month? So we have a couple of hands back there. I've done the same thing. Part of it was a commitment that I would keep doing it, and part of it was the fact that I'm so bad with my phone, I don't know how to turn the alarm off. But we've been praying that. And this is the prayer that we've been praying. Almighty God, reveal your will for Resurrection Church and unleash new life. Break through all that would block us from accomplishing your purpose for us. We expect the unexpected, because you are able to do far beyond what we could ask or imagine. Last fall, we told God in our prayers that we expect the unexpected. And then came 2020, and we got unexpected supersized. I mean, there was COVID, and then that led to the economic collapse, and schools were shut down, and George Floyd was murdered, and there was protests, and there was chaos, and the sports were canceled, and now there's fires raging across the West. And if there's one little bright side in all of that, it's the fact that this is an election year, and can you imagine how sick we would be of election commercials and all the election bickering if there wasn't other things going on? We did not expect 2020. And in the church, we didn't expect it either. I never dreamed that we would suddenly have to close down the building and do everything online. I hadn't even heard of Zoom. And suddenly we're having Bible studies on Zoom and church meetings on Zoom, and Easter came, and we should have just been packed. And instead it was Dan and I recording the service so you could worship online. We never dreamed or imagined that that's what we'd be doing. And I thought that we would be perhaps having Easter now. In fact, I told you, we're going to have Easter when we can get back together, but we haven't been able to get back together, at least not in an Easter way, because of the social distancing and all the way that we have to keep a reduced number in the building. Just never expected that we'd be wondering if we can even have Christmas like usual. Never expected 2020. And I also never expected how God would be at work in the midst of all of those surprises, all of that. I never expected that when we started to put our services online, that people would join and become worshipers with us from all over the country. And even now, I thank you who are worshiping with us from a place other than this building. Never expected that when we moved outside and held services outside, and by the way, we've moved the services on Monday nights up to 6 o'clock because it's getting dark so early. Never expected that there'd be people who started worshiping with us who have never, even to this day, ever entered those doors. But they have become a part of us, and they're worshiping outside. Never expected that with all of the economic turmoil, that we'd be able to continue all of our ministries, and that you would be responding to the needs of your neighbors in the way that you have. So generous and caring. And also, actually meeting some of your neighbors for the first time. I don't know how many stories I've heard of people who hadn't really met their neighbors until this pandemic. And now they not only know their neighbors, but they're also having prayer meetings across the yards, and they're getting to share the faith. Such unexpected things. We just never expected 2020. And yet God has shown up in so many amazing ways. Personally, this year, I've had more conversations with people who want to know about Jesus than I have had in years. 2020 has been a chance to share faith. And I never expected that. What about you? Did you expect the things you've seen this year? But I should have expected it. I mean, we were praying for it. We told God that we expect the unexpected. We prayed to be surprised. Are we surprised that God did it? We shouldn't be, because God is a God of surprises, always doing far beyond what we could ask or imagine. Well, that's kind of the longest intro ever, because the scripture I want to talk about today is in the book of Acts. And it's about somebody who is having a year even more unexpected than 2020. And we don't know exactly what year that was, but we know that it was shortly after Jesus was crucified, raised from the dead, and ascended into heaven. And the person that we're going to look at, his name is Saul, but he's most often called Paul. Now, in order to understand how amazing that year was in chapter 9, we have to understand what Paul was like before that. Paul was a tent maker by trade. That was his business, but he had two hobbies. One of his hobbies was learning the scriptures. He was a Pharisee, which is the strictest of the branches of Judaism in his day. And not only was he a Pharisee, he says, "I'm a Pharisee of the Pharisees." He said that I, as to the law, as to the commandments, I am blameless. I follow every single one of them. See, prior to chapter 9, Paul's a bit of an arrogant know-it-all. And that has led him to his other hobby, which is to murder Christians, or at least to help those people who do. In Acts chapter 7, we find Stephen is being stoned for his faith, and Paul is there holding the coats so the people with the stones can wind up and get a better throw. And the Bible says that Paul approved of his murder. So that's where we are when we come up to chapter 9. This is going to start at the beginning. Meanwhile, Saul, still breathing out murderous threats against the Lord's disciples, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues in Damascus, so that if he found any there who belonged to the way, and the way is what they called Christians at the time, those who are following the way of Jesus, whether men or women, that he might take them as prisoners to Jerusalem. It's not enough just to kill the Christians in Jerusalem. Paul's got to go on to a road trip to Damascus and capture some more. As he neared Damascus on his journey, suddenly the light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say to him, "Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me?" "Who are you, Lord?" Saul asked. "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting," he replied. "Now get up and go into the city, and you'll be told what you must do." The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound, but they did not see anyone. Saul got up from the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. For 3 days he was blind, and he did not eat or drink anything. The last person Paul expected to meet on the road to Damascus was Jesus. Because he knew that Jesus was dead, that the resurrection was a myth. He killed people who said that they talked to Jesus. And yet, here he encounters Jesus himself. If you were to create a list of the last people that you'd expect to meet Jesus, it would be Paul. But on the road to Damascus, he meets the Lord. And his world is turned upside down. Oh, and by the way, he's left blind. In Damascus, there was a disciple named Ananias. The Lord called him in a vision, "Ananias." "Yes, Lord," he answered. The Lord told him, "Go to the house of Judas on Straight Street and ask for a man from Tarsus named Saul, for he is praying. In a vision, he has seen a man named Ananias come and place his hands on him to restore his sight." "Lord," Ananias answered, "I've heard many reports about this man and all the harm that he's done to your holy people in Jerusalem. And he has come here with authority from the chief priests to arrest all who call on your name." But the Lord said to Ananias, "Go, this man is my chosen instrument to proclaim my name to the Gentiles and their kings and to the people of Israel. I will show him how much he must suffer for my name." Then Ananias went to the house and entered it. Placing his hands on Saul, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord, Jesus, who appeared to you on the road as you were coming here, has sent me so that you may see again and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Immediately, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes, and he could see again. And he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. Now we have two people who are surprised. Ananias, who is a Christian, and he knows all about Paul, he tries to beg off. He says, "Lord, don't you know what an SOB this guy is?" And the Lord says, "Yep, I know. And I've chosen him to be my messenger." But Paul was perhaps even more surprised. Ananias is a Christian. Paul has been killing Christians. And remember, Paul cannot see. He's defenseless. And this Christian comes and puts his hand on him. And he has every right to beat him to a pulp. But instead, he says, "Brother, Brother Saul." He calls him brother and he heals him. What an amazing surprise for Paul. God is always doing unexpected things. And then finally it says, Saul spent several days with the disciples in Damascus. And once he began to preach in the synagogues that Jesus is the Son of God. And all those who heard him were astonished and asked, "Isn't this the man who raised havoc in Jerusalem among those who called on this name? And hasn't he come here to take them as prisoners to the chief priests?" Yet Saul grew more and more powerful and baffled the Jews living in Damascus by proving that Jesus is the Messiah. Imagine being a Christian living there in Damascus and having Paul come to your city. And suddenly you hear him preaching that Jesus is the Son of God. Imagine that. I mean, Paul would have killed you 3 days before. And now he's proclaiming Jesus and is acting as a missionary for Christ. And we think 2020 is surprising. What a year. Last year we looked ahead to 2020, and not only did we start praying the breakthrough prayer, but we also made a commitment to a vision for 2020 that had five parts, five ways that we saw God using us in 2020. And the first one was that we connect people with Jesus. And although this year has been nothing like what we expected, we are connecting people to Jesus, we talked about earlier. And the second thing was we worship passionately and authentically. And as you can see from the sanctuary, it doesn't look like it did at the beginning of the year. We're worshiping both outside on the street and here in this room, and we're worshiping online. And worship looks so different than what we expected. And yet, we're worshiping passionately and authentically. We said we'd bless the Hastings area. That was number three. And you have been out blessing people in so many ways, bringing donuts to the people in the school, to the hospital, and now to first responders and others. Been out there cheering up people outside the nursing home, holding up signs and waving to them through the window. You've been out blessing the community. You've been giving generously and helping people who are struggling during this time. We're doing it. We develop Christian leaders, and again, things haven't gone exactly as we expected. And yet new people have risen up, and they've started Bible studies on Zoom or support groups and prayer meetings with people that didn't happen before. And we weren't able to have our summer sizzler camp for youth, but some of our youth leaders are now off doing mission work on the West Coast with the Extreme Tour. They'll be back shortly. And fifth, we said we look like our community. And we've got a ways to go there. We want to reach young and old, rich and poor and in between, people who look like us, people who don't look like us, until every person in the Hastings area knows the saving love of Jesus Christ. And we do have a ways to go there. But God has opened up an even bigger field. Our community's expanded beyond just this area. And we're connecting with people across the country, maybe even across the world. And we're looking at working with Elisa and Ricardo Fonseca, perhaps extending our reach to other places. We have said we wanted to be like our community. Now we don't even really know what our community is, because God keeps expanding the vision. We ask God to do the unexpected, and God has answered our prayers. We ask to be able to connect people to Jesus, to be able to worship passionately, to be able to bless the area, to be able to raise up Christian leaders, and to be able to reach others. And God has answered that prayer. And 2020 is not even done yet. We still have several months to go. Who knows what God will do with our lives during the rest of the year? Now, I have to admit, I hate surprises. If you're going to plan a party for me, you better tell me months in advance that it's going to happen. I do not want to show up at your door and have people yell surprise at me. But I know that God is a God of surprises. And Jesus loves nothing better than to show up on our lives when we least expect it, maybe when we're walking along the road, whether it be to Damascus or some other place. And God loves nothing better than to send people our way to bless us in ways we could never dream of. I bet some person during this pandemic has blessed you in a way that surprised you, has been a touch of the Lord. And God loves to send out people to be missionaries for Christ in the world that so desperately needs to know the love of Jesus. So whether you hate surprises like me or love surprises, I dare you to pray the prayer again. To once again pray and expect God to do the unexpected. Will you pray with me? Prayer is up on the screen. Almighty God, reveal your will for Resurrection Church and unleash new life. Break through all that would block us from accomplishing your purpose for us. We expect the unexpected because you are able to do far beyond what we could ask or imagine. Amen.